The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
And welcome to this very, very special holiday edition of the Federal Football Report here on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Kevin Stanfield, and on special assignment is Claude Jennings. And we're here in uncharted territory after a special two wins in a row season for the Burgundy and Gold. That's right. They actually won the last home game of the season, 6-2 home record, by defeating the Buffalo Bills by the score, the misleading score, I might add, of 35-25. Now, Claude, now I know we kid because we love, right? But there was like some concerns going into this game about the not being able to win two in a row.
Well, yeah, there was concerns about not being able to win two in a row. There were concerns about letdown games. I mean, we saw it even in the Dallas game. I think the Dallas game was a huge letdown game. You would expect the team to play a lot better than that. I mean, you were talking about a team going into the Dallas game where couldn't win a game all year without Tony Romo, and you saw Matt Castle get benched again for Kellen Moore against the Jets. And so you figured, you know, the Skins, who were on a high after beating the Giants, to come in and then lose the way they did to the Cowboys, that's kind of a letdown game. And so you think, okay, two in a row, where they maybe able to pull that out. And they are in the driver's seat for the NFC East. You got the Buffalo Bills who are coming in. You figure Rex Ryan's defense at least would be ready to play. And the Redskins came out, and it was not a letdown game. It was a good win. Like you said, a deceptively, the score's kind of deceiving. I mean, that's 35-25 win. It was really more of a beatdown than just a 10-point beatdown.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost reminded me of the Saints game where the Skins got out to a really huge lead against the Saints. Now, they kind of let Buffalo get back into the game in the third quarter, but it wasn't hardly the type of third quarters that we're used to from the Redskins, where we get to see other teams. And it's early in the season. I mean, they really turned that whole third quarter thing around, I would like to say, after the Jets game, for the most part, to where the third quarter is no longer the worst quarter for the team. But you're right. I mean, to win two in a row. And look, it's Christmas week, Kevin. Christmas is this week, and the biggest present of all is that the Redskins won. The Giants lost. The Philadelphia Eagles, at the time that we are taping the show, has not yet played, but they're playing the Cardinals. The Skins could be in first place of the NFC East on Christmas.
That's right. Look, hey, I don't know about Christmas. I don't know what's going to be under your tree. But right now, I'm going to take this early present because they're in first place right now. And, you know, I would start out by saying how bad the Buffalo Bills are. But, you know, we got to give credit where credit is due. Captain Kirk, man, played a great game today. Captain Kirk managed the game. He took early shots. He took deep shots. And I noticed something about this game. When you go to Deshaun deep, even if he produces, if he catches it, he's happier. He's more engaged. And if I were you all, I'd feed that beast every chance I got, right? And you notice there was another long pass that he didn't catch, and he was just as happy because he felt like he was contributing, right? So if you know that's happening, you know that's the makeup of your team, you got to feed that. Also, for some strange reason, and I can't figure out why, wait till now, they stuck with Alfred Morris. They stuck with him, and he produced little by little by little, until before you knew it, he was in the Florida game, he busted a big one, right? And we have been begging for that all year long. Stick with the guy. Don't just let him, you know, have a couple of carries and take him out, because it was obvious that he was in the flow of this game. He was into it. The team was into him. And it gelled. They weren't predictable. They threw deep on first downs. They ran on short. Even Captain Kirk got into the flow of the things where when he on his 13-yard scamper.
This is amazing hearing you say this about Captain. Go ahead.
Now, we said that, but we did. Well, you asked me last week, and I was brutally honest, that Captain Kirk deserves a shot because he's done every single thing they asked him to do this year. Every single thing. And I saw this article just before we started the show that it's pretty obvious that they can't let him become a free agent. They can't.
Right. No, they can't let him become a free agent. You know, they've got to, you know, re-sign him. A couple of points that you hit on, Kevin. You know, when you talk about, look, they say, and we'll hear this a lot, the Bills are bad. You know, who cares? They're a bad team, so you beat a bad team. And that's what the Redskins did. They beat a team that they were better than today. And look, I mean, there will be times, and you mentioned this 2 weeks ago, where we would get used to a team playing down to the level of their competition. They came out against a better team. They were at home, closing out their home schedule for this season with a win to go 6-2 at home. You know, that's awesome. And you talk about feeding the beast. I mean, Deshaun Jackson, 6 receptions, 153 yards, 1 touchdown. That was one thing we were really critical about earlier in the season. We're like, where's the deep passes? I mean, we know Deshaun wasn't in, but at the same time, okay, you can find whether it's Jamison Crowder, whether it's Pierre Garçon, you got to stretch the ball. And so we see them stretching the ball with Deshaun. Alfred Moore is 14 carries, 84 yards. Kirk Cousins, just an outstanding day, 22 for 28, 319 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown. I mean, it was really a complete game. And like you said, I think even if the Redskins were to lose the final two games of this season and miss the playoffs, which, by the way, would be the worst-case scenario, I guess, for the season, the worst-case scenario would be 7-9 and just missing the playoffs. Gruden and Cousins have done enough to keep their jobs for next year. Cousins to get the contract that he's playing for.
Yeah, and that pains me to say. Not like I dislike these people. Not like I dislike these people at all, but they've done what was necessary in this NFC East, which might be bad record-wise, but if you look at what the Giants did and look what Philly did to the Patriots, they're not as bad. Might not be as bad as it seems. And, you know, the funny thing that the Cowboys, who actually lead the division, have been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. The Cowboys have the best division record of all of them. But, yeah, you know, these guys have done what was necessary. I mean, it's not this team's fault. It's in the NFC East, and someone has to win, right? You know, and that's part of the beauty of being a division champion, right? It's not all about your record. It's about your record in the division. And these guys have made it a point to prove that they're a force to be reckoned with. How people continually leave Deshaun Jackson in man coverage, explain it to me. And how they act like Jordan Reed is a surprise to everyone, it's amazing to me. Jordan Reed had a couple of touchdown catches today, and it's like there was a surprise to the Bills. It's like every time you listen to the broadcast, they say, this Jordan Reed is making a name. He's making a name. He's made a name for himself. This man is a weapon. So, you know, yeah, the Bills didn't play a great game, but the Burgundy and Gold had a game plan, and they executed it almost to perfection.
Absolutely. And I mean, in what was pretty much, I mean, they pretty much manhandled the Bills. I mean, how many times, and I mean, we saw it once before in the game earlier this year against the Saints, but how many times in, I don't know, man, maybe the last, 10 years, have we, maybe even longer than that, 15, 20 years, have we been able to say that the Redskins just came out today and played like they were not just a better team, but they were light years better than the Buffalo Bills did not belong on the same field as this team. We haven't said that in a while. And I mean, you know, you're looking at a team right now who's 7-7. I mean, they could finish the season. I mean, like we talked about the worst case scenario being 7-9 and just missing the playoffs, and how even if the worst case scenario from now were to happen, that it would still be a very successful season for the Redskins and very successful for Kirk Cousins, very successful for Jay Gruden. But imagine if the best scenario happens where they win the next two and they get into the playoffs at 9-7. What's interesting to me is, and I don't know whether it's just people just aren't in disbelief or whether everyone's kind of shocked by it because of the low expectations or just kind of waiting to see how things play out, but this doesn't seem to have the 2012 magic. That was, you know what I mean? Like, there was just kind of this feeling in 2012 with that playoff run with RG3 that may not be happening now, but who knows? Maybe now that with this week we'll start to feel that kind of magic around the city, but it doesn't feel the same. I don't know if that's just me or whether you feel that same way, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel the same way because I think in that 2012 season, we had such a drought at the quarterback position for such a long time. And you know, you got to give it to Shanahan. They drafted a player who didn't need to have that offensive line to be at his tip-top NFL best to be effective, and that mm-hmm. worked for them. So the fact that we had excitement in the quarterback position for, you know, that was exciting in itself. And mm-hmm. and then the fact that we beat the Cowboys on national TV twice, they had another level mm-hmm. of excitement, right? But that was short-lived. But this, I think, is different because we weren't quite sure. I don't think anybody came into the season expecting us to make the playoffs this season. We wanted to see improvement. We wanted to see improvement in the offensive line. We wanted to see our improvement in the secondary. We want to see our improvement on the defensive line. And Scott McClendon, man, I constantly give tip my hat to this guy because he's brought in people with attitude, man, and not just a bad attitude, but people who want to play, want to let you know that you've been in a football game when you're playing, right? You know. Mm-hmm. Now, today they gave him some big yardage in the second half. I personally attribute that to Tyrod Taylor running all over the field today. Eventually, that's going to take his toll. And the reason that he had to run is because the secondary was playing so well. They kept making the point on TV of letting you know that they're putting pressure on the Bills quarterback, only rushing four people, and that mm-hmm. enabled them to have the other seven guys back in coverage. And he, mm-hmm. it wasn't like Taylor was number three in the league in a quarterback rating, I believe. He was at top five, definitely, but he didn't have any place to put the ball. He mm-hmm. they played like a team. Now, granted, this brings them to 500, right? Is that where they are right now? 500,
7-7, yeah,
7-7. They are the best of the 500 and below teams. I mean, let's not get crazy now, because when they come up against a good team, they may win and may not. It's a 50-50 chance. But now they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat, right? That's the key. You got to beat the ones you're supposed to beat, and then just, you know, do the best you can in your division, because that's what it's all about, division games.
Absolutely, all about division games, and it's so funny because you said see improvements, and I think when you look at where, and here's what's interesting about the run, like I think when you look at what the expectation was going into the season, you know, most expectations were right around 7-9, 8-8, maybe 6-10. You might have heard a crazy, you know, 9-7. 9-7 was seemed to be crazy at that point, but for the most part, 7-9, 8-8, maybe. And so it's not even that the Redskins are over achieving. I don't think 7-9 would have been exactly what I thought. 8-8, okay, that's a really good year. But I think it's the fact that no one else in the NFC East. I mean, you know, there was clearly thought that the Cowboys and the Eagles would be the class of the division, but they are not. And so no one thought, it's not that no one thought the Redskins wouldn't be good enough to get to 7-9, 8-8, or maybe even a 9-7. The thought just was that would not be good enough to win the division. And surprise, surprise, it seems like it will be good enough to win the division.
Hey, you listen to the Federal Football Report here on Federal News Radio, federalnewsradio.com. I'm Kevin Stanfield on special assignment, remote location, secret, top secret location is Claude Jennings.
Special holiday location, Christmas week location.
So y'all there making your list and checking it twice and all that? Yeah, we're in a jovial mood today because we're critiquing the fabulous two in a row Burgundy and Gold, who actually have their destiny in their own hands. Wait a minute, I got a special guest who wants to say something about that.
It is your destiny.
Right, they have your destiny in your hands in the special Star Wars week. They have their destiny in their hands. Now, we know that the Giants put forth a very, I don't, you know, I know we're going to talk about the Giants later, but I got to admit, that was fabulous watching that, man. The putrid Giants, the Giants who let the Burgundy and Gold just beat them into submission, right? They had a chance. They could have folded. They were down 35-7 in the second half and came back mm-hmm. and tied the game. But I want to go back into this. But let's stick with the Burgundy and Gold,
you know,
for a minute.
Before you go back, did you see some of the plays that Odell Beckham Jr. was making? Oh,
incredible.
Those last two drafts. Oh, my goodness.
How do all the other teams in the league miss on him? Because he wasn't like the first overall pick, right? How do they go past that?
See that this guy could play.
Yeah, who is picking these people? He's amazing, man. He's amazing. I just hope that he's like not quite that amazing the next time they play the Burgundy and Gold, but he's just certainly something to talk about. Yeah, look, now, but let's back to the Bills thing. I kind of give it to the Bills players because they could have folded mm-hmm. as well, because you know, when it looked like it was going to be so easy, looked like it was going to be very easy for the Burgundy and Gold. And I think the Burgundy and Gold sort of took the foot off the gas a little bit. I think that's something they have to develop. I think a Bill Belichick team, if you notice, when they get you down, they'll step on your neck, right? And I think that this is uncharted territory for these guys. I mean, they did it against the Saints. And because they sort of got full of themselves after that, the next game was a disaster, right? So I think they're playing it with a sort of a cautious optimism right now, but they're starting to let loose a little bit. They're starting to let it go, and throwing the ball downfield is the key, man. The fact that they threw it downfield, the fact that the Bills were so, for lack of a better word, stupid that they kept single covering Deshaun, you know, the fact that they let Jordan Reed run wide open, the second touchdown pass, he was in the middle of the field, split the safeties in the zone. That's like a high school play. So, you know, I don't know what's up in Buffalo. Rex Ryan, they brought him to town. And
he's supposed to be a defensive guru, right?
Right, and they had the talent in Buffalo already. He was just supposed to put his brand on this talent that was already there and make it better. But this and you know, look, facts being what they were, these teams had identical records before this game started today, right? You know, so it's obvious they're not in that top tier of the 500 and below teams, right? You
know? They're not one of the good bad teams. In
right,
the
right, exactly,
they're,
exactly.
They're one of the bad.
They're
bad
one of the bad
teams.
Bad ones, right?
In the league, you know, and what I found interesting, and look. You know what you get here on the Federal Football Report. You don't get straight up cookie cutter sports talk jargon and stuff. And so, but I am going to say something that sounds remotely close to it, is that you can tell that this team is playing with confidence. Like it's different when you see a team like we've seen in the past here with the Redskins that expect something to go bad or don't believe it can do good or believe eventually a loss is coming. This team came out and expected to win. And even in the third quarter when things got close, they came out and did what they had to do. And that touchdown to go up, I mean, they were already up, but to extend the lead late in the third was so monumental because you can see it on the guys' faces. You can see it in the way that they played. You can see it with the hands held high, walking on them. It just seemed like they were confident and ready to play, ready to get this win. And that's exactly what they did. I know that sounds so cliche, because it is cliche, but you can tell that they were playing this game today with confidence.
Also, the Bills did that thing that I've been like, disgusted by all year long when you win the toss and decide you're going to give the ball to the other team.
Right.
And they kept, and this should show you, to show all those people who are doing this stuff why that never works, because if you give the ball to the other team first and they're successful, you automatically start out in a hole. You automatically start out in a hole, so you don't want to do that. You want your team to have the ball first, so you have an opportunity to put them in the hole. But the Bills didn't do it. They gave the ball to Captain Kirk, who's one of the hottest quarterbacks in the league right now, and let him march downfield and hit Jordan Reed for a touchdown pass. You know, it's incredible. People have been playing Madden too long, man. It's got to be what it is, because it makes no sense to do that whatsoever. They're doing that in the hopes that they get a score late in the first half, and then they'll get another score early in the second half and sort of put the other team in a bad way. But that's exactly what you do in Madden.
Right,
that's
right.
The same thing.
Which sounds good, except if you're down 28-3 and
really,
and you can't see the score.
Really, your offense is sitting on the sideline getting cold, right? You know, it makes no sense whatsoever. So if you're listening, Burgundy and Gold coaches, the next time you win the toss, and I heard that the Burgundy and Gold only won four tosses this year, right? They've only won four of the coin tosses this year. But the ones you win, take the ball. Take the ball. You need the ball to score in most cases, right?
In most cases, you have to have the ball in order to score. And the point of the game is to score more points than the team you're playing against.
Right. So stop doing that. So we thank you, Rex Ryan, for that gift, that early Christmas gift this year. And again, like I said, Kirk was masterful. He executed the offense to perfection. The first drive, Kirk was six for six with a touchdown pass. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you can't get better than perfection.
You can't get better. You know, one thing that I was wondering watching the game is, if you remember, not last year, because I think 2 years ago his performance kind of jaded that, but or maybe it was towards the middle of last year, but there was time where Kirk Cousins was a hot trade option. Yeah. And I wonder if teams
who were not willing to part with the second round draft pick or weren't willing to part with whatever the Redskins were asking to get, if they regret not pulling the trigger to get Kirk Cousins on their team earlier, now that they see him kind of catching on to what's happening here, they see him with an opportunity and they see what he's doing with the Redskins.
Well, you know what? You would think so, but then all you got to do is look back in history and look at a couple of guys like Matt Flynn that went from Green Bay to Seattle.
Yeah, look at the guys in Dallas.
Look at Castle. Yeah, look at that. So it's sometimes you think that he's a hot commodity or you think he's a sure thing, and it doesn't quite turn out to be that way. But Kurt's going to get paid. He's going to get paid, right. and they have a decision to make, and it seems like Kirk's making it for him. This is the guy. I mean, Gruden put his career on this guy's arm, right? He said, this is, this guy's better equipped to run my offense. Sure, if we can get somebody who's guaranteed, but there are no guarantees. You gotta go with the hot hand, and Kurt is it, for right now. Keeping in mind, there's got to be some qualifiers. Keeping in mind that Kirk was third string last year. Keep that in mind.
Right.
He was third string. Whatever happened to him, it happened, it was so bad that they had to bring him all the way down to the third string. So,
right. No, absolutely right. And that also brings up, we haven't talked about Robert in a while. And, winning and playing well, it has its way of shedding all the other distractions and all the other talk to where you start to talk about what's actually happening on the field and what you actually see in the games as opposed to all the off the field stuff. I don't see a scenario, where, he's kept here on the team unless the owner's just like, hey, I don't want to let this guy go. I'd rather have him here as a backup. But I can't even understand, Robert wanting to stay here and be a backup, although, you signed that contract, so there's not much you can do about that.
Yeah, every athlete wants to play, man. That's the one way you hurt a professional athlete, but it's by not letting them play. And it would, they're going, and it's a sacrifice for the team because they invested so much in him to get him. And, initially and financially, it's paid dividends. I'm sure if you look at the record keeping for the Burgundy and Gold, I'm sure it might be catching up now, but I'm sure they've sold more RG3 jerseys than they have Kirk Cousins jerseys. Now, the sales of Cousins jerseys are picking up. They're picking up, right? So the team financially is in a no-lose situation because the better they get, the better Kirk gets, the more those jerseys are going to sell, the more money they got coming in, and Kirk's going to get broken off a little piece of that.
No, absolutely. And so, like you said, you let your play on the field do the talking. You're kind of patient and waiting your turn. And that's what Kirk did. And, the issue I think that I still have with it even just goes back to the draft, the amount of draft picks invested in RG3 to go back and then still draft Kirk Cousins and have both of them on the roster, at least the worst case. Because remember, before the season started, the worst case scenario was you could move forward and not even know next year who your quarterback is, or you know that neither of the guy is the guy for the job. At least right now, it seems like the team can rally and say, okay, Kirk's the guy. It's time to move on from the dual quarterback situation. He's the established first string. Whatever they want to do with RG3, they'll do it. But whoever the backup is, he's the backup, and there's no quarterback controversy in the city. And we'll see how long that lasts. But at least for now, it seems as if all that stuff has stopped.
Yeah, the only problem I have with the whole situation is if RG3 had been awarded the same opportunity that Kurt was, and by that I mean in this regime, an opportunity to be bad until you work yourself into being good. We don't know what the outcome could have been. And he was not awarded that opportunity, right? That's the only difficulty I have with it. But, hey, this is just me, just one man's opinion right here on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. We're going to take a little break here. When we come back, we're going to look at the action in the NFC East, which people ridicule as being like the worst division in professional football. But with the excitement of these teams and the last minute heroics of the other teams in the league, it turned out to be one of the most interesting divisions in the NFC. But right now, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Burgundy and Gold, who actually control their own destiny.
It is your destiny.
Here on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
Now, back to the Federal Football Report with Claude and Kevin.
You know, they asked me to read this, but did they invite me to be on their dopey show? Of course not. The nerve of some people. Come on, guys. I like football, too.
And welcome back to the Federal Football Report here on Federal News Radio and FederalNewsRadio.com. I'm Kevin Stanfield, Claude Jennings on a special pre-Christmas assignment on remote isolated location. I will say he's in the North Pole, but I don't know if we wrote that or not. After the Birmingham goal beat the Buffalo Bills 35-25, but Claude, this isn't the only game in a lackluster this season, the NFC East. The New York Giants had a good chance of performing a miraculous Christmas miracle comeback and dethrone the undefeated Carolina Panthers today. The Giants were down 35-7 in the second half and came back and tied the game with an outstanding performance by Odell Beckham Jr., who was in some type of zone. I mean, I know he's an outstanding player, but he was going a little bit above and beyond what he really needed to do today. And what did you think about Odell's performance?
Well, there was two parts to Odell's performance against the Panthers. Number one, there was the wide receiver, the football player, Odell Beckham Jr. Then there seemed to be the UFC fighter, Odell Beckham, who was in a real, like, kind of chippy back and forth all afternoon with, and I forget his name, but one of the Panthers' cornerbacks, number 24. And then the football player, look, he's one of the most exciting young players in the league. I mean, there's not a catch this guy can't make. He's so fast. After the catch, I mean, when you look at this and you see him, whether he's covered or wide open and the ball's in the air, you're just waiting to see what kind of acrobatic thing he's going to do, and he delivers so much. And he actually made a comment in an interview. He says that, you know, you make a couple of acrobatic grabs and, you know, two or three of them turns into, you know, 50. And then all of a sudden everyone says every time you catch the ball, it's amazing. Because someone asked him what was his favorite acrobatic catch. He says, I really only have four or five, and so, and I don't have much to choose from. Yeah. But the legend of Odell Beckham Jr. has grown so much. But look, the football player, especially clutch, late in the game, he came up super big to tie that game up. But, you know, the Giants couldn't hold off the Panthers. The Panthers, look, a great team. And Cam Newton, yet again, made all the passes, made all the plays he had to make in that last drive to seal that victory. And the Giants really needed that one to keep pace with the Washington Redskins because, of course, it seems as if, with the Cowboys eliminated, it seems as if the Redskins would hold that tiebreaker now. And then the Giants also still have to play Philadelphia for the final game of the season. But there was a lot of chippy play. One in particular, I mean, Odell Beckham and the cornerback for the Panthers, number 24, they're going back and forth all game. There was this one play where after the play, he like just straight up lunges at him with his helmet and hits him in the helmet with him and gets him kind of wobbly and stuff. And he may be facing a fine, and he better hope not a suspension, because if he's suspended for the Giants next game, which is against Minnesota, that could cost the Giants the season should the Redskins win and the Giants still lose next week.
Yeah, Josh Norman, I believe, was the cornerback who was locked up with Beckham all game long. And apparently it started after a Cam Newton run where a lot of the Panthers felt like he was hit late out of bounds. And so that's and you know how often a good corner in this league will take a personal challenge and being locked down with a good wide receiver and that's what was happening.
I have to prove to you my superiority.
Right. But Beckham took it a little bit too far. Now I admire Beckham, but he had three unnecessary roughness calls on him, man. Now how many times do you see that on a receiver? Three unnecessary roughness calls, right? You know,
at some point you get the message like I may be costing my team a chance to win this game.
You get kicked out the game after two, but they said, but since you're back, we'll give you some other ones, right? But you know, granted, they were up 35-0, and Cam was smiling. But I'll never forget the look on the sideline when Cam saw that they scored, the smile went away. And I saw something that I hadn't seen this season in Cam. I saw a serious Cam Newton. And he like said, okay, this is what we got to do. And he led his team on a masterful drive, including the scramble late in the game that set up the winning field. Go. And a little trivia here. The snapper, who I forget, And the field goal kicker, Graham Gano.
Gano, uh-huh.
Both ex-Burgundy and Gold.
Burgundy and Gold are leading divisions all over the place.
All over. But it was an amazing thing to behold because the Giants, once they were scoreboard watching, and they knew that Burgundy and Gold were beating up on the Bills, and they wanted to remain in this tie, and they did everything they could. This was a miraculous comeback, but this was a game that Cam Newton put this team on his shoulders. He had five touchdown passes prior to this. And he said, I guess we don't need five. We don't need six. We just need to get in the field goal range. And you saw something special about this team, right? We talked about destiny before, but this is looking like a team of destiny to me because they did what they had to do to win. Now, Beckham was dancing. Cam was dancing. Everybody had a chance to dance in this thing. But to me, the best team won in this one.
No, absolutely. And what's interesting about this Carolina team is let's not forget that before the season started, they lost their top receiver from last year. And so everyone was wondering where in the world is the offense going to come from. It seems like they have plenty of offense to go around and to not lose a game. Thus far, here's a team. And what people like about Cam Newton so much, well, for folks who like him, actually, what's liked about him by those who like him is the fact that he seems to be having fun while playing this game. You know what I mean? People like him giving away his touchdown balls to kids in the stands, to his fans and stuff like that. They like the work that he does. They like the smile on his face. And he couldn't have been, in two phases, a better pro, given a lot of the scandal that happened as far as whether he got paid to play in Auburn or not and all that kind of stuff. And then, he comes to the NFL, and it took time. I mean, we talked about the whole RG3, Kirk Cousins taking time to play until you get good. He was always a physical specimen. He was always a big guy. He was always going to bulldoze his way to a first down. There was just questions about how he would develop and mature as a passer. And he didn't come in the league killing it like this behind center. He developed into that. You know what I mean? I mean, it's almost like when you look at basketball, Steph Curry wasn't always a great ball handler. He wasn't a good ball handler in Davidson. He developed into that. And so we see Cam Newton developing into a great passer. He lost his number one receiver from last year in the preseason, and yet the offense doesn't seem to struggle at all. They haven't even lost a game. And when he had to put the team on his back, he put them right on his back. In an Auburn-style way, when he had to make a run, when he had to kind of buy time, he did it, put the team on his back, and they kicked that field goal, and they beat the Giants, and Burgundy and Gold everywhere are happy about that.
Yeah, I guess when he came from Auburn, most people worry about him having to take that pay cut to come into the NFL, right?
But he may have wanted to stay in Auburn paid more.
But he seems to be managing pretty well. And I think, perpetuating the stereotypes, right? Like that running quarterback type thing. Cam is a quarterback. He's a big pro, stand in the pocket type Troy Aikman, stand there, deliver the ball, take the hit. Quarterback who had a little bit of mobility, right? Now,
right.
If you think about it, if you have a choice of being behind five or six guys who weigh 300 pounds and doing your job, or leaving those guys and going out there being on your own, who wouldn't choose to be a pocket passer? Being a pocket passer is what it's all about. But if you have a couple of little skills that allow you to gain some yards going down the field, I'll maintain, if you look back through history, you look at Randall Cunningham, you look at Michael Vick,
You look at Steve Young. That's exactly
all those guys got hurt outside the pocket, right? They got hurt, excuse me, inside the pocket. When they were on their own, running around, creating on themselves, they were fine. But when you made them stand there and be moving, remember the time Steve Young ran down the field with no helmet on, right? When you're controlling, I don't have it queued up, but when you're controlling your own destiny, you can do that. When you're depending on those other guys to protect you, and one of them has an off day and one of them has a bad day, that's when the injuries happen. But I agree with you 100%. Cam, who came into this league, shaky, bad reputation, not as being a bad guy, but just being, young and brash. You know how you young people are out there listening, right?
Arrogant, right.
Because all young, for every generation, every young person thinks that the older generation don't know anything. Because they figure if they knew anything, they'd solve all the world's problems already. And so they figure we're young, we know everything, and we're going to end up solving it. But let me tell y'all, every generation sees the same thing, right? So I believe that Cam, above anything else that you said about him coming into the league, was coachable. And
but
I think,
you know, yeah. but before you talk about you with the coachable, like here's the thing about the you know, with folks getting on about being a showboat or anything like that. If you're doing something to almost humiliate your opponent, I don't like that. But it's okay for a little bit of flash here and there. I never got why people didn't like why he did the Superman thing. And, you know, I understand if you're down by 30 points and you get a meaningless first down in the fourth quarter and you do it, or it's the first quarter and it's the first down. But I don't mind. You know, that's one of the things that made great players like Deion Sanders. He was prime time. You know what I mean? He wasn't just Deion. He was prime time, and he had his dance, and he had his stuff he would do before the punter would punt the ball, and he would. I mean, that's what made him kind of like who he was. You know what I mean? Aaron Rodgers has to discount double check. I'm okay with the players having fun and doing stuff, because as a kid, I remember looking at some of that stuff. I remember looking at Deion Sanders, and if I was out at recess and I caught an interception, and I was known for getting interceptions in my day in elementary school on the playground.
Yeah, really.
I was taking that thing back to the house, and I was doing the Deion dance on my way in. I mean, kids like that. That's what fans like to see, that kind of stuff. Now, again, if you do something kind of – I don't like when guys score a touchdown, they stepping over the guy that just scored. I mean, I don't do any of that foolishness. That's kind of like Odell Beckham did that in the game. I didn't really like that. I mean, don't do anything to show anybody else up. But, you know, you want to do a dance, or you're going to do something, that's fine. Fans like that stuff. I hate when players – when fans or the league or something, it's too hard. What are you going to ban celebration? These guys get excited. It's an emotional thing, especially when the game is on the line. Let them celebrate. These are guys who need that kind of expression. We all do it. I mean, shoot, if your son is on the debate team and he wins the debate, stand up and scream. Take your shirt off. Do something. Show your support. I'm okay with that kind of, you know, flashiness. It's okay. It's what made primetime primetime. This is what guys do.
Hey, man, I understand that they got your name on the Jungle Gym at the elementary school right now, right?
Yes, they do. Every single time my son goes across those monkey bars, I stand up and I do, you know, whatever little stupid dance that people do. I do the Victor Cruz dance.
That's right. And look, and it also says on the Jungle Gym, it says Claude Jennings on the Federal Football Report, along with Kevin Stanfield here on Federal News Radio at federalnewsradio.com. Yeah, we're talking about having fun in the game, and that's right. It's supposed to be. And we've had a lot more fun in this town than we've had in a long, long time. We've had so much fun that we don't really know what to do with it yet, you know, because I did notice a lot of Buffalo Bills fans there today, and people selling, you keep doing that, right? You keep selling those tickets. You know, you can't sell anymore. You know, I hope you got all the Christmas presents and everything you needed to buy with those Bills tickets you sold today, because the next ones are playoff tickets. If you get any more tickets this season, they're going to be playoff tickets, and you know what you better do with them, right? You know, Come on, Burgundy and Gold fan. I mean, they've done at least as much as they can do, right? They've gotten you into the playoffs. Now, sticking with the NFC East now, on a rare, which they advertise for some strange reason as a Saturday night edition of Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, do you know what they were saying? And during the Dallas game, you know, it's Thursday Night Football, the Saturday special edition of Thursday Night Football. Why not just call it Saturday Night Football?
It's Saturday Night Football. I don't understand that, right? See, because actually, and because they kept doing that, I guess subconsciously, I thought the game was on Thursday and I missed it. And then Saturday, oh man, there's a game on, right? You know, they shouldn't have done that. And a lot of things shouldn't have happened. Like, they shouldn't have started Matt Castle in that game, but.
Oh my goodness. Did you see that interception, that second one? Oh.
Yeah, he got. Like they threw a penalty. Didn't they throw a penalty on him for like intentional grounding? I said, how can you do that?
On the same play, intentional grounding and an interception.
I said, how can you do that? I guess the ref said, son, that was so bad. We got to penalize you. I said, I know it was penalized by by throwing the interception, but we can't let that happen in this league, right? But, and then it stirs up some controversy in Dallas because the coaching staff is being accused of leaving a guy in too long. Too long during the season when Castle was, you know what you were getting in Castle. But then you had a guy, remember what we said in the earlier show, that your backup quarterback had to sort of be the same as your starting quarterback, because if he goes down, you just can't change the whole your whole offense. But this guy, what was this guy's name? See, some guy I never heard of. What was his name?
Kellen Moore from Boise State. Never played a snap in the NFL.
Yeah, with the blue field. Yeah. But he seems like he was a closer match to Tony Romo than Castle was. And they were able to incorporate a lot of the things. He wasn't like flat footed in the pocket. They could roll him out. They could do this and that. And he took shots. He, you know, the last last play of the game where he just reached back and just hauled and threw as high as he could to Dez Bryant. You saw the Cowboys sideline. They were sad that Dez didn't get the ball, but they were happy that he gave him a chance. He just threw it. He threw it up in the air and said, I got one of the biggest receivers in the league. Give him a shot. Let me take it out of my hands and put it in his. And that's the gunslinger mentality that Tony Romo has that they needed and that they've missed this season. And again, I don't feel but so bad for him because they're the Cowboys, you know. And they were
I mean, look, you're right. I mean, Kellen Moore comes in. Matt Castle hadn't completed a pass to a receiver all game. He had more passes completed to the Jets than he had to his own wide receivers before he was pulled out. Kellen Moore comes in, and immediately he's getting the ball to Dez Bryant, to Cole Beasley. They're moving the ball down the field. And you're wondering, why in the world hasn't this guy played earlier, if you're a Cowboys fan or if you're just, you know, a connoisseur of football? And so you're sitting there and you're watching this game and say, he seems a lot better than Matt Castle to the casual fan. How come he hasn't played earlier? And there should be questions to the coaching staff. Like, why hasn't this guy played and you get Matt Castle in the game and you know what he cannot – this guy has not won a game outside of beating the Redskins all year without Tony Romo. They haven't been able to win. And then furthermore, you look back with the Brandon Whedon situation, with Brandon Whedon playing. How do you get rid of Brandon Whedon for Matt Castle when Brandon Whedon hadn't even played with Dez Bryant? I mean, I can't think of a quarterback in the league that would be able to make a lot happen with Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley as your number one and number two options at wide receiver. And so then you bring in Dez, and then Matt can't win. Tony gets hurt again, and now you're still trying to figure out. I cannot see I mean, that is probably the most sloppily handled backup quarterback situation I've ever seen in my life. You don't want your starter to get out of your plan, but backup plans are backup plans for a reason. Just in case option A does not work. And it seemed like they were totally caught off guard, like, oh my goodness, Tony's out. What are we going to do? We'll do Whedon. Oh, and then they panic after three games and they bring Matt Castle in and he's no better. And because you did such a panic move early in the season, you can't surely bench Matt Castle after two or three games. You got to let him play. Tony comes back and then he gets hurt again. And you go right back to the guy who couldn't win a game without Romo. Like, it doesn't – like, how do you not have a backup plan? How do you not have a backup plan when the team has not just this season been horrible without Romo? In previous seasons, since John Kitna has a quarterback come in and won multiple games as Tony Romo's backup in Dallas. How can you routinely not be prepared at the backup quarterback position with an aging quarterback, by the way, who, forget the collarbone, this two times this year and one time a few years back, had back surgery.
That's the amazing thing.
Like, how could you not be prepared for a situation where a guy with a collarbone issue and two back surgeries and he's in his 30s? How could you not be prepared for that? But again,
that's
we can only be so upset because we're not Cowboys fans.
That's the amazing thing, that with the back situation, their initial plan was Brandon Whedon. Now, you know, the only time I remember seeing Whedon play was against the Burgundy and Gold that night where Romo got hurt and Colt McCoy, Colt 45, came out and saved the day, you know.
Who, by the way, is still on the team.
Yeah, he's they don't show too many shots of him. You see a glance of RG3 on the sideline, but you don't see any Colt McCoy. And Colt's the backup. He has a chance to play. By the way, RG3's been wearing... he's actually dressed for the game. I will say this, RG3's been wearing some nice sweatsuits, man. Have you seen those sweatsuits?
He's got great gear.
Yeah, it's great. I need maybe to get one of those, hook one of those up for Christmas. You know, maybe I wait till after Christmas to get those discounted prices right. You know, or if you all, you know, I wear a size extra long here on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. Just in case you're listening. I know you're listening because you wouldn't hear this if you weren't listening. But yeah, is it Jerry Jones who's still pulling the strings down there? In Big D country, is it he that, you know, took a team that was a bad call away last year from making the NFC Championship game and pretty much dismantling it? I mean, allowing your running back to get away, allowing your defensive line coach to get away. Is this Jared doing all this?
Well, see, here's the thing. It's gotta be, and here's why I say it's gotta be. I'm not privy to everything that happens after every game with every team in the league, but I do know for sure Jerry Jones is the only, is maybe the only owner in the league that has a post-game press conference. Like, yeah. No one else does that. And he's always talking about, well, we've got to get new personnel into this. We've got to get new personnel. Look, it seems as if he wants to win. He just doesn't know how to do it. He needs more. We were almost afraid of Snyder becoming what Jerry Jones was. Now, I'm not saying that the Redskins' problems are solved with Snyder. I mean, they're only 7-7 this year. It's pretty good. And the Cowboys are where they are, 4-10. And I think we all understand that that's because Romo's been hurt most of the year. I mean, we get that. But he's the only owner that does a post-game press conference every single week. Like, he is probably way too involved in the moves that he is making. I'm pretty sure it has Jimmy Johnson laughing. Like, this guy does not know what he's doing. I am the one who built that Cowboys team up to win those Super Bowls in the 90s.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And he should have never fired
them. That's right. I was thinking that, you know, it's this whole situation is a result of the ego of Jerry Jones. Now, you got to give him credit. Like, he built up that offensive line, you know, as a general manager, and he put a team together that surprised a lot of people this year. But sometimes you got to let the ego go and maybe have some other advice and some other football minds in there to let you know. And that's what the Burgundy and Gold has done. And that's why this rebuilding year has been really a pleasure to watch. I mean, a rebuilding year is truly what it was, and the talent that McClendon has brought in, and the fact that, you know, that we have solid backups all the way across the board. Now, before we go, we've been like enjoying the demise of the Cowboys so much. We did talk that at the time we recorded this show, the Philadelphia Eagles are about to play the Arizona Cardinals, so we don't know the outcome as of yet. But man, what are your outlooks on this particular game in the NFC? Interdivisional game.
See, here's the thing with the Eagles. I mean, I think what's going to happen is whether win or lose with the Eagles tonight against the Cardinals, because by the time we take this, we don't know what the outcome is going to be. Win or lose for the Eagles, next week is going to shape up to be a huge game for the division. Now, again, I think with the Redskins getting to 7 wins Sunday against Buffalo, you know, I think, honestly, just being honest, given the expectations and given what the definition of a successful season would be, mission accomplished so far. Everything that happens past this point, to me, is a bonus. Every win past this point, you win the division, you get into the playoffs, that's a bonus. And so, as far as what defines a successful season for the Redskins, I think mission accomplished. So what they have next week is an opportunity for just extra, for bonus. Win or lose for the Eagles, the Redskins has an opportunity to beat the Eagles and put themselves in a position where they win 8 games, maybe win 9 games, they beat the Cowboys late, and make the playoffs as the NFC East champion, which would be huge, which wouldn't matter. And I know it's like, well, since we're in the playoffs, you might as well win. Of course they're going to go out there and try to win, but win or lose, like, that would have been like the least likely, actually, outcome anyone would have had coming into this season. So why? Now, I'm interested to see how this team plays against the Eagles next week with a chance to really, like you said, your destiny's in your own hand. I am really interested to see how this team comes out and play now that you've gotten the 7 wins and things just aren't about, you know, I mean, it's still about rebuilding, but you actually are playing for something and you could really, really, really put your hands around the neck of the NFC East with a win against Philadelphia. I am interested to see how the team comes out and plays with that. With all that stuff on the line.
Well, we're going to come back and talk about next week. We're going to talk a little bit more about what's happening around the NFL. And this is going so fun. It's so fast and so fun when we win. And, you know, half the shows we've done after a win, that'll have after a loss. Now, we've seen winning, we've seen losing. And take it from me, folks, winning is better. Now, we'll be right back on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
And now back to Claude and Kevin and the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. You know, they aren't half bad for a couple of old guys.
Welcome back to our final segment here on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com. Kevin Stanfield here, Claude Jennings there. We're going to wrap this puppy up because, you know, we were talking right before, you know, while we were doing the break, right? And not just wanting to recap the game, but we're looking at possible playoff opponents. Now, when we started the season.
Why not?
You know, You know why we're doing this?
Why not?
You know why we're doing this?
It is your destiny.
That's right. That's why we're doing this. Now, one of the possible playoff opponents, you know, because we will be division champions, and that means we play a wild card team in the first round. One of them, well, both of them actually won today. Wait a minute. Okay, that's still the destiny going back. No, let's not take it too far now. Let's not go crazy out here. But one of the possible opponents is Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Now, we have not done well against the Seahawks in the playoffs. As a matter of fact, we've never beaten the Seahawks in the playoffs. And the last time we met,
instead of not doing well,
right? Yep. The last time we met the Seahawks in the playoffs, we lost our Rookie of the Year quarterback, and it was the emergence.
That was the beginning of the whole downward spiral of what in the world are we going to do at the quarterback position. That started it.
Right now, if you're wondering how Seattle's doing these days, they defeated the Cleveland Browns 30-13. I don't have all the stats in front of me. Now, prior to this game, Russell Wilson had thrown 16 touchdown passes in four games and no picks. And before we started doing the recording, he had just thrown two more. So let's let you know how Russell Wilson is doing. And so this is amazing, man. The coach, or soon-to-be ex-coach of the Cleveland Browns, got in the media and said today that, I mean, this week, that he didn't think Russell Wilson was a top tier quarterback.
Now, mind you, he has a situation where he has Johnny Manziel starting for the rest of the year, but he thinks Russell Wilson is not a top tier quarterback. And Russell Wilson has a Super Bowl championship. He lost in the Super Bowl last year, but he believes, you know, in his infinite football wisdom, that Russell Wilson is not a top tier quarterback. There's no need to even address that.
Yeah, I wonder what he's thinking right about now.
Is he elite now? Is he top? Not even elite. Is he top tier?
Yeah, really. He's better than what you got. Let's put it that way, right? Okay. Now, the other possible opponent would be the Minnesota Vikings, another possible wild card team, because they improved their record to, I believe, 9-5 by just dismantling those poor, hapless Chicago Bears by the score of something like 38-10. Now, if you had your druthers, which of these teams would you rather face? Because you know you got Adrian Peterson, who feels he has something to prove, and Russell Wilson, who's mad about the coach calling that last play, the last call, and Marshawn Lynch, who still wants the ball. Which would be a better matchup, do you think, for the Burgundy and Gold?
Well, see, here's what makes it interesting. I think when you first look at it, you would say, obviously, Minnesota, but I still think Minnesota's the team you want to play, but it's not as clear-cut as it may seem. Let's not forget that a bulk of Seattle's offense, yes, while coming through Russell Wilson, has been outstanding the last 4 to 5 games. You know, their backup running back has had a majority of the carries while Beast Mode had been out, while Marshawn Lynch was out, and he got hurt last week and is out for the rest of the season, so they lose him, and he accounted for a big chunk of their offense. Now, with that being said, Seattle still has Marshawn Lynch, who's playing fine. They still have Russell Wilson, who's playing on high levels, and their defense it has been playing up to what you've expected out of a Seattle defense, which is why, I mean, with the defense playing the way it is, that's the reason why I think you may want to go with Minnesota. But let's not forget that Teddy Bridgewater is proven to be a good, not a serviceable, but a good NFL quarterback. Still young, still a lot of growing to do. But Adrian Peterson is Adrian Peterson, and he can run that ball. And I'm not sure if Minnesota's defense can really stop Captain Kirk and the Redskins' offense. So I would rather, for those reasons, play Minnesota. But it's not as clear cut, I think, as most people may think.
You know,
Seattle can stay in Seattle for all I care.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing how a good running back can make your quarterback look that much better. It is so amazing. You know, if Dallas had kept the running back, they had, but we digress here. I'm with you. I think that there's more of a chance for this defense to be effective against a Teddy Bridgewater than there is against a Russell Wilson, because you just got so many things you got to get ready for Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson isn't a running quarterback. Has those 18-plus touchdown passes in the past 5 weeks, you know, ladies, you believe. He's not a running quarterback. He's a quarterback that just so happens to be able to run, you know. So that's something you got to prepare for, and, you know, like I said, it just hasn't worked out. So, I mean, you know, maybe we're due, you know. maybe you play Seattle enough in the playoffs, maybe you're doing, as I'm so far saying today's show,
it is your destiny.
You know, so maybe it is our destiny to win one of these bad boys. But
how ironic would it be to play Seattle in the first round again, the same team that hurt RG3 and kind of started all the quarterback controversy here in Washington between the two, and that Kirk Cousins takes the starting job this year and then closes the book with a win at home against Seattle in the playoffs. How fitting would that be? Storybook ending right there.
Yeah, because
huh?
The sad part to me is Kirk should have played before RG3 got the last injury. Once they went 14-0, Kirk should have been in the game then. So, so you know, hey, maybe that is our destiny. It would be the fitting end to a storybook season. And I think that's a fitting end to this edition of the Federal Football Report here on Federal News Radio. We thank you so much for joining us on this special holiday edition. And Merry Christmas if you're there. Happy Kwanzaa if you're over there. Happy Hanukkah if you're there. Feliz Navidad to all of y'all. We love you all. We know you love us because you're listening to us. And you all, you take care. We'll see you next week on the Federal Football Report.